February and March and April, and as Brother Brandon mentioned, thank God for the birth of Christ, but thank God for the sinless life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, that you and I can have eternal life. And we come today victorious, amen, and I know it's a tough time of the year for a lot of folks, but you and I can come for a little while and put all the cares of life aside and just celebrate and worship our Savior today. So we're glad to have you. If you're a guest with us, we're glad to have you this morning. And we do have some folks traveling different things. Want to pray for them, but we're excited to see what the Lord's going to do in the service. So let's go to Him in prayer, and then you can be seated, and we'll turn over to the choir. And they're going to share with you. If you weren't able to come last night, we had a great, great Christmas program last night. Had quite a few visitors here last night. Wonderful. And the choir's going to share some of the songs, not all of them, but some of the songs they sang last night. And I know they'll be a great blessing to you. And then also, we've got an added bonus today. Our young people are going to sing today as well, some of the songs they sang last night. So we're just going to have a great time today, and don't worry about the time. We'll get done sometime, amen, and you can go eat lunch and open presents and all that stuff later. But I'm so glad you're here, and we're going to excited to see what God's going to do. So let's pray together, and you can be seated. Father, we come to you with thankful hearts today. We're thankful we can celebrate the birth of Christ. We're thankful for the promise of Scripture in the Old Testament and the fulfillment in the New Testament. And we come today thankful and grateful people that you'd love us enough to send your darling Son to be born in a manger, live, fulfill the law, die on an old rugged cross, rise again the third day. And so I pray this morning that everything we do would honor and glorify your name, make much of you. May we celebrate you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Jesus Christ is born today. Jesus Christ is born today.
Christ is born today. Shut up.
Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, He was wounded that I might live. Jesus lived.
The Lord shall give a sign, a virgin shall conceive, and bear a child divine, for all men to receive. This is the Christmas story, though Mary's son by birth, Jesus the King of glory, was Son of God on earth. He left His Father's throne, descended from above. He came unto His own, but they refused His love. This is the Christmas story, though Mary's son by birth, Jesus the King of glory, was Son of God on earth. For God so loved the world, He paid redemption's price and sent His only Son to die a sacrifice. This is the Christmas.
I like those songs, amen. Just a little reminder of who the Lord is to us today. And let's stand to sing this song, page 135. Hark, the herald angels sing. Let's sing it together this morning on our monitors and 135 in your hymnal. Hark, the herald angels sing.
Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn.
Turn around and fellowship, and if you children will come on up, please. Let's get back to our seats. Let's go into that second verse, Christ by highest heaven adore.
Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold Him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity.
humility, pleased as man with men to appear. Jesus, our Emmanuel here. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
On the last verse, ushers, you come. Come, desire of nations, come.
Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed. Bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface. Stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above. Reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Wonderful singing this morning. Remain standing, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Brandon. Well, I enjoyed the good choir singing this morning. Amen. And again, had some that weren't here this morning that were here last night and did a great job with the singing, and excited to hear these young people sing. And boy, they did a good job last night. So we're excited to hear them sing, and that we're going to receive an offering. And we're in the midst of trying to get everything taken off the platform for the program last night and get it all back. We couldn't find the offering plates. I said, you know, you can't have a church service if you don't have the offering plates. I mean, that's in the handbook somewhere, right? But man, we're just, isn't God good to us? They were singing the song, some of those songs, Born to Die. And I thought, you know, that was the whole purpose. And, you know, so often we miss the purpose of things. We get in tradition and we miss the whole purpose of what we're doing. And the purpose of Christmas is not about reindeer and snowmen and Santa Claus and even about us receiving gifts. It's about remembering the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad. You know what? Oftentimes, Brother Fry will say, well, he was born in a manger. Well, he was robed in flesh. And see, sometimes we humanize God to the point we think, well, that's when his creation started. He's always been. That's just when he became man. And when you look at it that way, boy, that changes things, doesn't it? And I'm afraid too often we still view him as a babe in a manger instead of a resurrected Savior. But I'm glad that you and I today can come and enjoy and worship and remember the birth of Christ, because it does. It points to the death of Christ. And so we're glad to have you. We're going to receive the offering. We're going to pray. And after we pray, you be seated and we'll receive the offering. Brother Taylor, you pray for us, please.
Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be here on this morning, God, that we can celebrate your birth, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, God, to be born in a manger, Lord, but more importantly, to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord. We want to reflect on that today, God. Lord, just to put you first, Lord, not to be concerned about our presence or anything like that, God, but we put you first in everything that we do, God. Lord, we'd take some time, Lord, just to give back to you here, God. We pray that you'd bless this offering, Lord, and just, God, just use it to multiply your kingdom, God. Lord, we'd see souls saved because of it, Lord. And God, Lord, what a great gift today would be, Lord, if someone accepted Christ as their Savior, Lord. We pray that if there be one here that's lost, God, they'd be saved before it's eternally too late, God. We love you. We thank you. We pray that you'd be with our pastor as he opens your word today, God. We'll give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Each time I have a birthday, I'm as happy as can be. My mommy makes a great big cake, and the gifts are all for me. All for me. All for me. On my birthday, every gift is all for me. When Jesus has a birthday, I'm as happy as can be. I hang the stockings up with care. For me, on his birthday, every gift is Christmas list, the longest line in town. Till Daddy took a look and said, you'll have to cut it down. I knew that what he said was true, beyond the faintest doubt. But was surprised to hear him say, you left your best friend out. So I checked my list again and said, oh, that's not true. But Daddy said his name's not there, that friend who died for you. And then I clearly understood for Jesus that he meant for him who should come first of all. I had it planned a set. Christmas list and leave the Savior out. But oh, it didn't take me long to change my list about. And though I had to drop some names of friends I like a lot, our Lord must have first place because his name is at the top.
Amen. That's good. Amen. Well, I tell you what, we think of Christmas list and Christmas time and everything else, and we put everything above the Lord. Not just at Christmas, we do that quite often as people, don't we? But Christ is to have the preeminence, and that means he's to be first place, or really that everything else revolves around him. And, you know, you have times like this where you have Christmas Day on Sunday, and, again, not being critical, but if we're not careful, we put everything else before him. And you would think, hey, if you're having Christmas on Sunday, everybody would be in church. Amen? I mean, you think about it, well, this is kind of the perfect storm, if you want to call it that, that every, you know, you don't have to worry about taking a day off of work or whatever, and you've got the very person we're to be celebrating every Sunday, and you have the celebration of his birth on the day that we come together, and you have people say, well, I won't be there, why not? Well, we get together as a family. Well, you know what? Here's what I learned years ago, Brother Fry. When my wife and I got married, we always did Christmas a certain way. Her family always did things a certain way. And then when you get married, you have to change some of that, don't you? And then when brothers and sisters get married and they have families, then you have to change some different things. And so some of those traditions we look at and say, well, we've always done it this way. You have to change it. But today, I'm just glad that we're here. And we're able to celebrate the birth of Christ. I want you to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 1 this morning. Matthew chapter number 1. And Brother Taylor, you do me a favor. And can we get those microphones out there? If I walk down there, I'll have one of them fall and hit me in the head. And then we'll have to call the ambulance on Christmas Day. It'd be bad, wouldn't it? Matthew chapter number 1. And just want to read verse number 21 this morning. And we've been thinking over the last month or so, we've been preaching on Sunday morning about Jesus and really leading up to the birth of Christ. And Matthew chapter 1, we see the birth of Christ coming. And the fact is that the angel comes to Joseph and he tells him what his name ought to be. You know what we ought to do? And I again, not critical. Can't tell you we've got it all figured out. But one of the things we ought to do when we name our children is pray about it. And, you know, here we see Jesus, and Mary didn't just pop up one day and look in a book or go online and Google the popular names for that day. And the angel told her what God wanted Jesus to be named, and she named him that. And I think too often we forget some of that. Everything God did was planned out. It was not by circumstance. It wasn't, it just happened that way. The place where he was born, his name, the fact that he was born to Mary and Joseph was all the plan of God. And again, we too often think that God is, you know, well, if we do this, God is going to do this. And there are some of those conditions, but God's plan is settled. And God knew from the beginning that salvation, listen, when Adam and Eve sinned, that didn't take God by surprise. He knew that would take place. And we know that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. God had a plan all along. And the birth of Christ goes right into the plan of God. He tells them in the Old Testament over and over and over, prophesying about a Messiah coming. And then when he finally comes, they're not ready for him. They're looking, as the choir sang, they looked for him in a palace. They wanted to see him lead those people away from that earthly bondage, and they did not understand the plan of God. And I think too often today, if we were real honest, we're no different than people were there. We have the completed Word of God in your King James Bible, and we understand that God's plan is forever settled. The Word of God's forever settled in heaven. And now we're in 2016, almost 2017, and there's still that anxiety about the way things are going to go. And we're always wondering, we're concerned about the plan of God. We're concerned about our children. We're concerned about our nation. We're concerned about world events. You ever notice this, Brother Fry? You can preach on the Christmas story. We can preach on the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and people will come. But I promise you this, you ever have a prophecy conference, and people will flock in because they want to know what's going on. Listen, I don't know who the Antichrist is going to be. I don't know exactly when Jesus is going to come back, but I know he's coming back. And that should get me to the point that it excites me and motivates me to live for God and to do more for the cause of Christ. So when we get to the account of the birth of Christ, I'm 45, almost 46 years old. I've heard it 46 times at least in my life. But you know, when you really think about it, when you listen to some of these Christmas songs and it really exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, it should excite us as much today as it ever has. And the Bible said in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Notice this, "for he shall save his people from their sins." Let's pray. Father, we come to you today with thankful hearts that we are able to come and worship you and remember the birth of Christ. But may we not leave him in a manger. May we see him, leave him on the cross. May we see him as a resurrected Savior. May we see him as the God-man. May we see him as our mediator. May we see him today like we've never seen him before. God, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, get all the glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Usually I say you can be seated there and I get me a drink of water, but you're already seated, so I can't do that. As we look on this thought of the name of Jesus today, when we were about to have Luke, my wife and I started thinking about names, and we wanted to have his name have a meaning. We also thought about this. We wanted him to have a short name. You say, why was that? Because, listen, my name is Michael Christopher McDaniel. It took me till the 12th grade to learn how to spell my whole name. And so, you know, all these things go into thinking about a name. Why would we name our daughter this? Or why would we name our son this? But think about the planning of God. This was not just, I think we'll name him this. It was the plan of God for Jesus. And his name has meaning today. There's no other name that has been so loved and so hated. You ever notice that they don't mind you praying to God, but they don't want you praying in the name of Jesus? Why? Because for those that love the name of Christ, there's no name that is loved more than that. But for those that hate the name of Christ, there's probably not a name despised any more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in that day, there were those that would follow him and worship him. But there were those, the Pharisees and the religious crowd. And by the way, it's still that way today. They don't mind you being religious. They don't really mind you talking about the Bible. They don't even really mind you mentioning the name Jesus, but they do not want the Jesus that expects a whole lot out of us. They like him as a Savior, but they don't like him as a Lord. They like him as one that died on the cross, but they don't want to see him sitting at the right hand of the Father with power and authority to have some expectations on our life. And so to those who hate him, it is a name that is feared. and despised and offensive, but it's still a name that can save in 2016 going into 2017. So why was this babe called Jesus? Why was it so important that this child had this particular name and that that name was given him? Well, look at the whole birth of Christ. First of all, as we know in the book of Isaiah, the Bible said that he would be conceived and he would be born to a virgin. And we understand today that the word virgin and the word young maiden, as some versions would call her in the book of Isaiah, are not the same thing. It is important that Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born, because therefore he had his father's blood, and the Bible said he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. The conception was miraculous in that Joseph and Mary were not together. They weren't married at the time, and so we know the birth of Christ was not a human birth. It was not a natural birth in that the way we look at it, but it was a supernatural birth, and it was the plan of God. So we understand that God had a purpose in this, that he was born in a manger for a reason, and we look at that and we think, why would the King of Kings and Lord of Lords be born in such a lowly place? Because I tell you, he's not just the Savior of the kings and queens and the royalty and the elites. He came to earth to seek and to save that which was lost. And that birth showed his humanity, that he was not born in a palace, but he was born for the common man. By the way, I'm thankful for that, because my genetics, I notice this, you hear these commercials and they're saying a great Christmas gift is to go and give somebody this genetic testing where they can tell what country you're from and all this. And I'm thinking, that's like giving somebody the other one that says name a star after somebody for Christmas. I don't want a star named after me, and I really don't want genetic testing for Christmas, do you? I mean, you know, we get in trouble sometimes, fellas, when we give our wife a microwave or a waffle iron. Think if you came in and said, baby, I got you some genetic testing for Christmas. Amen. But when you think about this, that Jesus, the plan of God was that he was born, and he was born the son of David. He was born as a king, but he was also born as a lamb to be slaughtered, to die for your sins and mine. And we think of it, and we have to understand why this babe was called Jesus. He would save, according to verse 21, he would save his people from their sins. So his name was given to Joseph, and it is a name that will provide cleansing for Joseph. But may I say, 2,000 years later, it is the same name that provides cleansing for us today. And a couple things I want to share with you is, number one, I want you to see the origin of the name. In other words, why is it that Jesus is named Jesus? Well, first of all, if you look at the meaning of his name, way back in the book of Numbers, chapter number 13, before the children of Israel went into the promised land, in chapter 13, verses 6 through 16, we see that the Bible gives us some genealogy, or gives us some names of spies that went in there. But the Bible said in verse 16, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. In other words, it is showing the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know this, that in the Old Testament, Joshua is the same word that we use in the New Testament for Jesus. And that word Hoshea means this: salvation. Amen. God does not make mistakes. And when you look in the Bible and you see a name, don't just pass over it. Find out what God meant when he put that particular name in the perfect, completed Word of God. And so here, the Bible said that Moses took Hoshea and named him Joshua. Or we'll see later that he'll become the name Joshua. So when we think of that word Hoshea, it means salvation. And aren't you glad that when we think of Jesus, it's not that he's a babe in a manger. It's not that he is a man that died on the cross. He is our Savior today. He is the name that's above every name. And so the Joshua in the Old Testament is the Jesus in the New Testament. And the name of Jesus means salvation. Amen. So when you say the word Jesus, you're saying salvation. When you call on the name of Jesus, you're calling on salvation. Hey, when you profess to know Jesus, you're professing to know salvation. And I'm glad this morning that even 2,000 years later, there's no religion, there's no church, there's no sacrament you can take. There is a man named Jesus Christ who is salvation, and the only way to heaven is through this man, Jesus Christ. He wasn't just a man, he is the God-man. He wasn't just a Savior, he is the Savior. He is not just the head of a religion. My friend, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you and I sit here victorious today, not because we're Baptists, not because we're Methodists, we're not Protestant, by the way, we're not Catholic, we're not in a church building. We have victory today because of the name of Jesus Christ, and we ought to honor it and revere it and respect it and love it this morning, because His name has significant meaning in our life. Hey, there's nobody like Him. Amen. Hey, there's nobody that sounds like Him. Hey, there's nobody that speaks like Him. There's nobody that loves like Him. May I say, you'll always come up short unless you come up with Jesus. Amen. And so this morning, the meaning of His name is this: salvation. You say, why is it so important that when people profane the name of Jesus, we speak up? Because His name means something. Hey, the Bible said that we're not to take the Lord's name in vain. And by the way, let me just throw this in on Christmas. Cheap cussing is still cussing. Well, I hear a lot of kids running saying gosh or gaw. Am I? Oh, I'm getting parents. I didn't come for Christmas service for all that today. Well, you got it, amen. Hey, I may not get to skin you anymore this week. I got to get you while I got you here. We need to be very careful with our language. Hey, OMG, just because you type it out, it still means the same thing. And by the way, parents, you ought to kind of monitor what your kids say. Hey, God holds that name of Jesus in high regards. And if He holds it in high regards, you and I should name it, hold it in high regards as well. We ought to protect it and respect it and make much of Him and His name. Not only the meaning of His name, but the message of the name. Joshua, as we look in the Old Testament, is a type of Christ. And we have to be careful with typology, I understand that, but we're not perverting the Scripture by looking at Joshua as a type of Christ. Do you realize today that he was born in slavery, then exalted to be ruler of his people? And we understand Jesus Christ was not born in a palace. He was born as a peasant. His father, earthly father, was a carpenter. His mother was not a queen or a princess. And by the way, any religion that would exalt her, my friend, is wrong, because may I say that Mary had to have the same Savior that you got, and His name is Jesus. And so he's born into slavery. He followed the law of Moses. Joshua did. But Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it. And then he led the wandering people, Joshua did, from the wilderness to the promised land. Boy, I'm glad I'm looking at some folks today that you've crossed over, hey, the Red Sea. You've had that Red Sea experience of salvation. And some, as we saw last night in the Christmas program, have wandered in the wilderness for years. But may I say, there's still that possibility of crossing over Jordan. And that crossing over Jordan speaks of the abundant Christian life. Hey, I don't know your circumstance. You don't know mine. But I do know a Savior that can lead us over Jordan. Amen. And every time they had a battle in the promised land, hey, that hornet, that angel of God, that one that would go before him and made the way and take care of the battle before they ever got there, is the same Jesus you and I have today. The same one that fought their battles will fight our battles today. This morning, may I say without apology that you have a God that loves you. And the message is that He doesn't just want you wandering in the wilderness. He wants you crossing over Jordan this morning and living a victorious life so that you and I can exalt the name of Jesus. You say, preacher, I'm not there. Well, maybe you're still in Egypt. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never had that Red Sea experience of salvation. Today is a great day to be saved. But my friend, maybe you've had that, and today you do not have victory in your life. May I say the same Jesus that saved you is the same one that can lead you into that victorious Christian life this morning. So he led the wandering people. He led his people to victory. Boy, I tell you what. I was working on a message yesterday for the coming year. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. The Bible said, in the last days, perilous times shall come, dangerous times. You look at those lists of sins, we're there. And listen, I understand, we look today and say, oh boy, I tell you what, the economy's going to pick up. Hey, the stock market's 20,000, everything. A carrier brought their air conditioners back to America. Well, you do realize that we've had economic boom times in America before. You do realize every time God blessed the children of Israel with finances and took care of their material needs, they walked away from God. You do realize that the church usually adds numbers, and I mean sees people saved in times of persecution, not in times of prosperity. What I'm saying this morning is that you and I still need the Lord today. Hey, it's usually not, Brother Mark, until we're going through trials in our life that we call on the Lord. And today we need Him more than ever. Hey, even today with all, listen, we come today, we're excited, it's Christmas, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. But I do know this, Brother Tim, there are still people here today that in the midst of that have burdens they're carrying today. You can still cast your cares on Him today because He cares for you. And so it's the message of the name, but number two, the impact of His name. You know what His name does? It makes the common uncommon. You know what I'm looking at? I'm not looking at a bunch of kings and queens and prince and princesses. I'm looking at a bunch of paupers and beggars and slaves and lepers that have been redeemed by the grace of God. And because of what He did, you're exalted to be a prince. You're exalted to be royalty. It's not you were born with it. You were born. And I don't care how much money you've got. We're all born the same way into sin. But He makes the common uncommon. Hey, listen, let's be honest. The name Joshua is a pretty common name. It's pretty common in the Old Testament times. But when you look at the name Joshua, and you look at the name Jesus, boy, there's something about the name of Jesus. Hey, it's different. You don't hear a lot of people named Jesus, amen? Matter of fact, up until recently, I didn't know anybody whose name was Jesus or Jesus or anything else. Brother Fry, there's a time that nobody would name their kid that because that was the only name. There was only one name of a man named Jesus. And you can say what you want. You can name him. But I'm telling you, there's still nobody like him. So he makes the common uncommon. There is nobody like Jesus, and a common man becomes uncommon heirs when they accept Jesus as their Savior. Listen, let's be honest. Years ago, many of you wouldn't even be in church. You sure wouldn't spend a Saturday night up here at a Christmas program. You sure wouldn't wake up, you know what, New Year's Eve is coming. Here's the other thing. I wonder how many churches are going to shut down on New Year's Day because of New Year's Eve. All you got to stay up and watch the ball drop. Got to ring in the new year. You got to kiss your sweetie when the ball drops. Won't you just go to bed and kiss them the next day? Well, Jimmy, start getting older. You don't really care about a ball dropping. You just don't want to drop. Amen. I mean, that's. But if you're listen, can I say this? If you're going to stay up till midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning so you can watch a ball drop, I sure wouldn't miss church the next day. Amen? I wouldn't miss it anyway. But I'm just saying, well, we stayed up late last night because it's New Year's Eve. But here's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to be in church more. Well, you ain't starting out too good. Amen? I'm going to be in Sunday school, Brother Brandon. New Year's resolution, I'm going to be in Sunday school. But I'm not going to make the first one. Well, you're starting off on the wrong foot, aren't you? Hey, I believe I'd go to bed early on that Saturday night, and I'd be in the house of God on Sunday if that was my New Year's resolution. Even if it wasn't my New Year's resolution, I think I'd do it. Well, are we going to have Sunday school? Believe we will. Believe we will. Why? Because our perspectives are different. Our goals are different. Our motivation. Listen, I don't care if you climb the top of the corporate ladder. Praise God. Have some goals on this earth. But if those earthly goals are higher than your heavenly goals, you're missing it. You know what we're going to do next year? Hey, I'm excited. Brother Brandon and I have been talking. We're taking her up three notches. Man, we're taking her up. We're going to spend even more time in the Word of God. We're gonna reach out even more to the community. We're going to try to win more people to Christ. But, preacher, I tell you, it just seems like every year you want to do more. I do, praise God, because we're closer to Him coming. I don't want to do less. I want to do more. I want to run more buses. I want to have more ministries down there. I want to have more people in here. I want to have a bigger choir. I want to have more programs to reach out to people. Why, preacher? You're working us to death. I'm not doing it. It's for Him. But we ought to do more. When are we going to have family time? I tell you what, go knock on some doors as a family. You got movie night four nights a week, and Facebook night four nights a week. Put all that stuff down once in a while. Guess what? We're going to have Winter Jubilee coming up. Well, I can't make it. And we're going to do something great for you again. We're going to give you a calendar. And it's going to have the dates. Brother Fry is preaching homecoming revival. You know what, Brother Fry? It's the same time every year. And somebody said, can't come. We got vacation planned. Well, plan Him first. Plan Him. You know what? Myrtle Beach don't care when you come spend your money down there. See? And like he said, you come back, you won't have any money. If you go, they don't care when you come down there. So schedule it some other time. Why? Because as a common man, we don't think like common men. Our goals, our view, our thinking's different. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about this man named Jesus. So He makes the common uncommon, but then He makes the unsatisfied satisfied. You know what this world needs? Jesus. I mean, let's just be honest. This world is crazy because they're unsatisfied. We want more. We want a new husband, a new wife, a new car, a new job, a new church, we can't get satisfied with what God's given us. You know what changes Christmas? When you're satisfied when you got nothing. Hello? You know what does that? It's not a resolution, it is a Savior. When you realize that you deserve hell and I deserve hell and you don't have it, you're not getting it, you're condemned, but through the blood of Christ, you're not condemned, that you're not getting what you deserve, and you realize that is the grace of God, it makes you thankful, and when we're thankful, the uncommon, or the common is uncommon to us. And those that really, when we're unsatisfied, we become satisfied. And when you look in the Bible, and you had the lepers, my friend, they were healed, and they became satisfied. They didn't know what they were missing. But when they got it, Brother Fry, even then, when you look at those leopards, only one of them came back. And I'm afraid we're that way sometimes, aren't we? Well, God blesses us and blesses us. Boy, if you miss Wednesday night service around here, you missed it. Man, we got to testifying before the offering. We were just talking about how good God's been to us. But you know what? If we're not careful, we'll get right back into, I don't have this, and I've got this wrong with me, and this is going on in my life. We'll focus on all the circumstances instead of the Christ of our life. And so there was healing to the helpless. Well, you start, here's what I want to challenge you to do. coming year, read through the Gospels. We read through the whole Bible, but start with the Gospels. You want to see how to be a better Christian? Just watch Jesus. Do what he does. Hey, look how he brought help to the helpless, and he brought salvation to the shepherds, and he destroyed the demonics. In other words, he cast those devils out. And by the way, that's what we're seeing a lot today. We're seeing folks that are not demon-possessed, but they're demon-influenced, and Satan is ruining their lives, and they'll never let go until they meet Jesus. Boy, we need him today. And then we see the resurrection to those that repent. You know, we had to be careful. I was reading a book this week, and it's talking about salvation. And Brother Taylor, we got to be careful that we don't just push people into a prayer. Just pray this prayer. There's got to be some repentance, and that repentance is that we turn away from. Amen? Seven, eight people get saved last 3 or 4 weeks around here. But we don't ever want to, we're not pushing for numbers, see. Because I've seen too many walk the aisle, profess a little. I made a profession, say a little prayer, and they go back, and we just want to run through the baptistry. And they leave. Brother Barry, they go back right to the same life they're living. There's no change. The Bible said old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There ought to be a change if a man gets the nature of God inside of. I'm not saying we won't ever mess up, won't ever sin, but there ought to be something different. You know who does that? It's not the church. It's not the Romans road. It's Jesus. So he makes the unsatisfied satisfied. He makes the sinner saints. Listen, we miss that too often. Now, I don't want to bust your bubble on Christmas, but y'all are a pretty motley crew. Pretty wretched bunch. And I'm right in there with you. We're not worth a whole lot, regardless of what you think of yourself or what I think of myself. We're not worth a whole lot till you meet Jesus. Now, he thinks a lot of us, Brother Matt, because he sent the best he had to die for us. But honestly, we're not of a whole lot of value till we meet Jesus. And something changes. We're saints. You know what? You know who made me a saint? It wasn't the Pope. It was Jesus. He makes the sinner saints. Number three, I'm done. The importance of the name of Jesus when it deals with our future. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." I want to say this. We're here today, and I'm not naive. Brother Mark, even though we are here celebrating the birth of Christ, there's some sadness. There's some broken hearts sitting here today. We've lost loved ones. But you know what the Bible tells us here in 1 Thessalonians 4? It didn't say that we wouldn't sorrow. I know some people say, well, you shouldn't feel sorrow because you got a loved one that's going on to be with the Lord. That's not what the Bible says. It says we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. We miss people. I miss my dad. I miss my grandmas, my grandpas. You've got people in your life you miss. But the hope we have is not in their baptism. It's not in their name on the church roll. It isn't that they called on the name of Jesus. And you and I this morning can see them again. And the name of Jesus is important because it's associated with the coming resurrection. That's our hope. Hey, it wouldn't break my heart, Brother Fry, if we left out of here before we got out of the service today. Because there's some folks I want to see, and there's some folks you want to see. There's some loved ones. But you know what? Even more than that, it's going to be Him that we see. So that name, the importance of the name of Jesus in the future is that He changes your future. If you're not a Christian today, may I say that you cannot get to heaven without Jesus Christ. And it's not your membership, it's not your baptism, it's not because you signed a card. It is your faith and your trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also in Philippians 2:10, the Bible said that at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. It's associated with the coming judgment. Now one preacher said it like this. He said, you'll either bow now or you'll bow there. But if you bow there, it's too late. Brother Jimmy, what excites me is, let's be real honest. You know who gives me the most trouble in my life? It's not my wife, my children. It's not church members. It's not the government. There's two people. Me and the devil. And when we see Him that day, I'm not going to have to deal with this flesh anymore. But He's going to take that old devil. Brother Alderman called him old maggot hatcher. And He's going to bind him up. He's going to cast him in the lake of fire. And we ain't going to deal with him anymore. Hey, it seems, and I hear it all. Well, Satan, boy, he's powerful. He may be. But the Bible said that everything on the earth, above the earth, under the earth, everything's going to bow to Jesus. Hey, it's not going to be at Christianity, amen. It's not going to be at the church. It is going to be when the exalted one, Jesus Christ, comes in. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess Him as Lord that day. May I say, let's just go ahead and get a head start and start worshiping Him and start bowing now and call on His name this morning, because in the future, everybody's going to. But finally, it's the name that'll help you today. I mean, it's good that one day we'll do that. But the Bible said in Acts 4:12, neither. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I think that word neither means nothing else. Neither is there salvation in any other name. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not the Pope, not the pastor, not the Baptist, not the Methodist, not the Pentecostal, not Confucius, not Obama or Osama. Said there's one name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want you to think about this. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, here's what people say. They'll say, well, I think my good's going to outweigh my bad. Well, then you know what you're doing? You're depending on you. And you've got a name. It may be Matt. It may be Ben. It may be Brother Eddie. It may be Brother Johnny. It may be Brother Noah. You've got a name. So if you're trusting on you to get you to heaven, you know what you're doing? You're kind of trusting on a name. It's just not the right name. And the Bible said there's no other name. There's just one. The one that the angel told Joseph, said, name him this. Maybe Joseph, in his mind, thought, boy, I'm going to have a son, I'm going to name him Joseph Jr. Little Joe Jr. God said, here's what you need to keep in mind. He's not your son. He's mine. I'll name him what I want to name him. And I want to give him the name of salvation. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, what a great gift He'd give you today in eternal life. Maybe you're here today in that name Jesus. It's not that you don't love it. Maybe it's just not as special as it used to be. Wouldn't it be great to just reflect on it today, every day, but make today that first day that you start reflecting on His name, salvation. He gave you salvation. He blesses me. He takes care of me. He should have the preeminence in my life. It all should be about Him. We just need to come back and reflect sometimes. I want you to stand with me this morning. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. No one's looking around this morning as we stand together. I appreciate your attention. I want to invite you to come this morning. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven, if you've never, there's never been a time in your life where you said, I want to trust Christ, as Jesus Christ is my Savior, will you do this? Will you slip your hand up? You can just put it up real quick, put it right back down. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me today? Would you pray for me? I don't know that I'd go to heaven if I died today. Would you pray for me? Is there one? Is there one? Maybe this morning you just need to come. There's many around the altar. You need to come and say, you know what, I want to get back to where Jesus is the most important thing in my life. I want to get back to the place where it's all about Him. I need peace in my life. And I want to make some things right today. Whatever your need, maybe if you need to be saved today and you're not sure how, if you'll come, we'll show you from the Word of God. If you need to just get around the altar, maybe you got a loved one, a child, a mom, a dad that needs to be prayed for. Whatever your need, you come while He sings. While He sings, you just mind the Lord. Listen, people are already around the altar. People are coming, so you won't be by yourself. Don't let the devil talk you out of making some decision that you need to make this morning. You can walk out of here with salvation if you're not saved. You can walk out of here with victory if you're living a defeated life. What a great day. Just to make some things right with God. Listen, people are still coming. You know what? You don't leave here with regret. Don't leave here knowing that you should have done something, made a decision for God, and you walked out of here and you said no to Jesus one more time. Said no to God one more time. Next time, next time, next time. You know, one day there'll not be a next time. Oh, that's good. People are still moving. Listen, don't get in a hurry. Just mind the Lord. Just do what He tells you. Oh.